You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Well, it's here. The eclipse day is here, and before you know it, it'll be all gone, and probably like one of those big blizzard mornings. Be like, well, what was that all about? I don't know. So I hope it goes well for you. We just heard from Katie Nicole and Naomi Rain. My God, can 6:50 it is. I was in the 1970 eclipse. It didn't get any it wasn't going to get any publicity because it went across, I mean, North America was like, it went across Central America, the Gulf of Mexico, right around the Florida-Georgia line, and then came up the East Coast. So, you know, nobody cared about that. You know, that's where I was. At my Uncle Junior's down in Clinton, North Carolina. It's like about an hour from the beach or the coast or whatever. And it went off the coast. It was out in the water by the time it got, you know, where the real populated areas is like it is now. So the one now, you know, is going to come across northern part of Mexico, Texas, the Ohio Valley, and western New York. That's major population there. So it's getting a big deal. A lot of people are going and flocking to see that. So I just remember being in it. And, of course, I took great precaution. I had a telescope, but I had one of those filters. And if you want to see what I look like with eclipse glasses on, check out the Sound of Life Facebook page. Can't see anything, which is the whole intent. The danger is looking at a partial eclipse. That's the thing, because it's like looking right at the sun, but you're more likely to do it because half of the sun's is blocked. And you may think, well, this is not so bad, but it is. And you probably wouldn't even know, to be honest with you, if it was, and it's going to be like 97% around the Hudson Valley, Capital Region, right? Of a total eclipse. But the whole thing is the totality. That's the big thing. So because you'll find that even at 90%, there's still a lot of daylight coming out. You know, the sun is pretty powerful. And so the thing is, everybody's talking about the clouds, but if you're in the totalitarian, or whatever area, it's going to probably get cloudy because it's going to get considerably cooler. That's one thing that I noticed. I mean, it would make sense. It has to. The sun's gone. And so it could get 10 to 15 degrees cooler. Clouds kind of build in. It does get dark, you know, and I was looking at some cars out on the bypass there. It's very dangerous driving because it happens so fast. But it is fun watching the birds. They all go in the trees, the chickens, you know, and they're confused there for a while because I think the speed of it happens so fast and throws off their rhythm, right? Their cadence, their, you know, their rhythm. And so that's kind of the thing is, a lot of people study the sun when it's in a total eclipse because you can see, you know. One guy I saw posted actually said, wow, what a coincidence that the moon would just be big enough to block out the sun. What a coincidence. And he stopped and said, really? The sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, but the moon is 400 times closer to the Earth. And so it's amazing that their paths would even cross, considering the vastness of space and, you know, how many angles and degrees you have to float around in, that their paths would at some point cross. And it's been very significant in history, even well into the BC times. Oh, it got noticed, all right. There was a battle. They were in the middle of a battle. Wouldn't that put the fear of God into you, right? And I hope it does today, actually.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show.
Oh, you look like a man who could use more coffee.
The Sound of Life.
So we started looking at a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, probably to a home church in a region now in Turkey. Then it was known as Colossae. Right? So in the Bible, it's called Colossians. And it was the area was known for its diversity. And by that, I mean, there was all kinds of philosophies. So it's good to know that people wanting to mix all kinds of things into what you believe. And of course, it had a bearing on what Paul said. And every one of those letters that he writes, it's good to know. Is he answering a question? What's going on in the church? How did the church service act and stuff like that? But Paul's focus is basically love, grace, faith written on your heart. And remember, we're part of an organism. We're not part of an organization.
The Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter. He is that morning person.
I remember the small town grocers in the village, you know, they always make great sandwiches and things like that. It was pretty cool. And this guy's probably like that. Dan runs a little grocery store on an island, and I had to look him up. They're the Orkney Islands. There's a bunch of them. There must be 50 of them off the northern coast of Scotland. Imagine what that's like. That is rough. It's beautiful, but rough people there. I mean, you know, just weathered. That's what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But he ordered 80 chocolate Easter eggs, and he accidentally ordered 80 cases of Easter eggs. And it turns out it might have been a God thing. I mean, now, you wouldn't think so, considering there's only 500 people on the whole, you know, population of the island. And what was he going to do with it? But his heart overtook his mind, and he decided to raffle off groups of 100, with all the proceeds going to the Royal National Lifeboat Association, which on those islands and that rough water is a vital part of the community. Thank God they rescue people and vessels every year, hundreds of them. So it proved to be a huge hit. And they raised thousands of dollars or pounds or whatever they use. But it was so popular that the ultimate irony was that Dan had to order more chocolate eggs. Isn't that wild? And so he got stacks of letters from people, and it got on social media, and it went around the world. And the manufacturer of the chocolate contacted him with a proposal. They said, well, we'll match any donations received for the lifeguard group. All right. Up to like $10,000 or whatever, with the aim of raising $20,000. So that was pretty cool.
Starting your day with a smile. It's the Cup of Joe Morning Show with Joe Hunter.
Now, bear with me on this, okay? But if you're like me, you've never really thought about what Jesus smelled like. What did Jesus smell like? Somebody asked that question because, I mean, it's a weird question, but you know what Jesus smelled like in the week leading up to Good Friday? We do. The Bible says that, right? Okay, stay with me. All right. Something amazing happened. The week before he was crucified, Jesus met a woman who poured an entire bottle of expensive perfume on his feet and then wiped it up with her hair. So according to the story, the smell of that perfume filled the house they were in, which would have reminded the people in the house of royalty. That's right. There's a theologian on the Middle East, and he said, in the Middle East, the majesty of a king was expressed not only in what he wore, but in his royal aroma. Just like the way you can often smell when a storm is coming, you could usually smell when a king was coming nearby. Kings always smelled like perfume, and Jesus was a king, right? It's interesting. Interesting that the Hebrew word we translate as aroma is Rech, all right, which comes from a root word which means a sacrifice to God, which is exactly what this woman did. By sacrificing her perfume to Jesus, she ensured that for the final week of his life, even during his crucifixion, Jesus smelled like a king. And that smell would have been on her too. She humbled herself to serve, and as a result, people would have smelt royalty approaching whenever she walked by. Likewise, when the world sees followers of Jesus loving and serving people, we remind them of what it's like to be close to our King. Your actions today will remind people, they will, because I know you, what Jesus was like.
The Sound of Life.
I'm talking about Caitlin Clark, and you probably know that name, unlike any other probably woman in basketball, although there have been some big stars over the years. She was, because of her point scoring, right, setting that NCAA record right there. But she plays for Iowa. They lost the championship yesterday to South Carolina. But nevertheless, she's going to go on. And she was one of the first women, or actually first athletes, to take advantage of a rule change in the NCAA. And that was the ability to make money off of their name, their image, or their likeness. And it's doing well. But one of the things you probably don't know about Ponytail Pete, as she was called when she was younger for her insane shooting range, was that she lives her faith, right? She went to a Catholic high school, and she said, we get to live our faith every day. The high school coach there's had a lot to say about her former teammates. It's not just about scoring a lot of points or winning. She loves playing in front of a sold-out arena because she gets to entertain people and bring a smile to their face, and knows that those gifts are from God, are an opportunity to bring joy to other people. She takes her job very seriously, not just basketball, but also as a role model. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
That'll be important.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.